1-800-567 today.
Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. The oops moments of the week. The Daily Salute. And we're going to throw somebody in the dungeon. Boy, I bet you're curious. Who could I throw in the dungeon? It was a day of a farewell for Sarah Palin, who said she is no lame duck. Palin stepped down just officially. We knew this was happening. Obviously, we talked about it here on the show as Alaska's governor. 17 months early, saying she needed to be on a larger stage, that she'll be able to fight a little bit harder, and that government should be smaller, not as big as it is, and some things about the media and some things sort of wrapped up about Barack Obama. So the question becomes, is Sarah Palin a lame duck? She said she was no lame duck, but that's how a lot of people are perceiving her. However, it was just 2 weeks ago when she actually showed up in the polls as a presidential contender for the GOP in 2012. She didn't get as much numbers as Mitt Romney did, as many numbers as Mitt Romney did, but she did certainly show up, and she was just a few percentage points behind him. Should she even decide to run for president or be thrown up there? What do you think Sarah Palin does next? You can bet the media will be on her trail, whether she likes it or not, because she does have a big curiosity factor. People either love her or hate her, but people have an opinion about Sarah Palin. There is no doubt. And speaking of having an opinion, as I said, it was the real oops moment that came back to haunt Barack Obama. And he got a little bit of a break, because here's what happened, in case you didn't hear the story. There is a Harvard scholar, Henry Louis Gates Jr. He was arrested by a white police officer. And what happened was, at the press conference where Obama was talking about his health care initiative, the reform, the whole thing, he was asked about Gates. He was thrown a question about Gates. So Obama originally made it sound like it was completely abhorrent and wrong what happened to this Henry Louis Gates Jr., right? So what Gates did himself is he said he would accept Obama's invitation to the White House for a beer with him and the Cambridge police sergeant James Crowley, who arrested him. He said he would be happy to talk with them. Gates what happened to the police department is they were being accused of racial profiling. So Cambridge is trying to sort this out, and they're trying to figure out why this dispute between a professor and a local cop escalated into a huge national argument about race. And of course, because the president made some remarks where he slammed, let's face it, he slammed the police department. But did he really know what happened with this professor and why he was being arrested? So, and Gates himself said he's going to do whatever he can to help people learn from his arrest. In the final analysis, what the problem is, the police are saying that they're going to drop the disorderly conduct charge without apology. They're calling the case regrettable. Obama said Cambridge's police department acted stupidly. That's the exact quote, in arresting Gates. So there was a huge uproar, as you can imagine. The bottom line is Obama changed his tune heading into the weekend. Here's what he said.
I unfortunately gave an impression that I was maligning the Cambridge Police Department or Sergeant Crowley specifically. And I could have calibrated those words differently. My impression of him was that he was a outstanding police officer and a good man, and that was confirmed in the phone conversation. And I told him that. My hope is that as a consequence of this event, this ends up being what's called a teachable moment. There was discussion about he and I and Professor Gates having a beer here in the White House.
All right, so apparently they're going to really have this beer and discuss this. Here's what Crowley had to say for his part.
I asked him if he could step outside and speak with me, and he said, no, I will not. And again, where's the effect? What's this all about? And I said, I'm Sergeant Crowley from the Cambridge Police Department. And he responded, why? Because I'm a black man in America, in a very agitated tone. And again, I thought that was a little strange. He was the one that was being provocative. This wasn't a back and forth exchange of banter or arguing. This was one-sided.
All right, so he felt like he had nothing, that he had no recourse other, as you could just hear there, than to put him into handcuffs. But then, of course, that picture made big headlines. Was it racial profiling? And, like I said, the outcry began. He was arrested at his home, the two-story house that he rents from Harvard. And a lot of supporters say it was an outrageous act of racial profiling. But you heard what the police said about it. You heard what Crowley had to say about it. So does this, I mean, I don't know, do you buy the Obama part of this? Does this lead to a greater understanding about racial profiling in America? Was he really racially profiled? Was it a smear on the Cambridge Police Department when they were just doing what, as you heard, what he thought he had to do? You know, they went by the book in the arrest of Gates, if you look at it that way. Anybody listening as a police officer, you know what I'm talking about. And so has it gotten to the point where you just, you know, we've become too sensitive, I mean, to this kind of a situation? You have, like I said, he's a known scholar. There's no doubt about it, but there was a confrontation. So if you follow what you do in the law, whether the person's white, whether they're Asian, whatever they are, and even the patrolman with Crowley said in a police report that he heard Sergeant James Crowley, you know, the guy who was doing the arrest, ask for identification and heard Gates say, no, I won't, and that he was screaming at him and calling him a racist and saying this is what happens to black men in America. And did Crowley do what he was supposed to do when he asked him for the ID? Because here's what the deal is. They were investigating a report of a suspected burglary. And so what they have to do, and this is true, anyone who's been in this situation, you know, you have to make sure that you know who's at the home and who's legally there and all that sort of stuff. So the Cambridge guys have been defending themselves nonstop since this happened against all of these allegations, because they're getting tons of emails and letters, all this other stuff, calls of racial bias for arresting Gates in his own house for disorderly conduct, even though the officers realized he was legally there. As I said, the charge was dropped 5 days later. So now you got unions representing the officers and the communities and everything else, like I said, in an uproar, having to have planned news conferences to talk about it. Barack Obama, the president, says the police acted stupidly. And the governor, Deval Patrick, who said Gates' arrest was every black man's nightmare. So what is the deal? More on that coming up on the flip side. What say you, America? 800-259-5791. Meet you on the flip side.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk Reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting, chewable, containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today.
1-800-210-1922.
With Choose for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet.
1-800-210-1922.
Or go to OrderChoose.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying.
We're talking about the Harvard scholar who was arrested that ripped open the Pandora's box of racial profiling. We know how dicey that can be, because certainly there are people who have suffered through that, and wrongly so. And then there are other assertions that at times are made, unfortunately falsely, that hurt those who really do find themselves in a profiling situation. But isn't that the way it always is? So this Harvard scholar screaming at the top of his lungs gets arrested by the sergeant from Cambridge. And then the question is, who was right in this case? Was it Crowley? Was Crowley off base? Was the scholar off base? Was Obama off base by what he said? Because he hasn't backed down. He's still saying, look, the police didn't need to arrest him. Cooler heads should have prevailed. And that's, you know, I respect what happens with law enforcement guys every day in their line of work. But it would have been better if that hadn't happened. The governor also, same thing. You should be able to raise your voice in your own house without the risk of getting arrested. But the interesting thing is with Crowley, he was hand-picked by a black police commissioner to handle racial profiling, in other words, to train the people in that, to not have that happen, because he was so decorated and respected and everything else. And people are backing him up. Fellow officers that are black, that are white, are saying he is a principled guy. He's a family guy. And if anything, he teaches recruits about avoiding this. So, you know, he didn't turn over the identification when he was asked to do that. That's what happened. He was arrested. Obviously, the professor was arrested. He's not happy about it. Now both of them are headed to the White House to have a beer with the president. Any thoughts? 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Jeff is listening to us in St. Louis. Hey, Jeff, your take on all of this.
If I can have a minute or two.
Go.
One, I think it's only a big deal because President Obama made a comment about it. If he would have just made a general comment and not anything specific, you know, like it's not my place to comment on a local issue.
Right.
I don't think it would have been made such a big deal and it would have just remained a local issue. Second, I think this doesn't have to do with race. I think it has to do with two eagles clashing. I know some cops who do have egos, which is not a bad thing, but sometimes they do tend to get in the middle of doing their jobs.
Right.
And combining the ego with the professor, I'm not defending either one. I'm just saying when you add in an 18-hour flight from China.
Right, with the professor, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying with anyone, it would probably put them off.
Right.
So I think... It would have been better if President Obama didn't say anything, and I think we would never have heard anything about this, and it would have been settled long before now.
Yeah, I think that's where the oops moment came. If Obama had handled it more diplomatically in the first place, instead of saying that police acted stupidly, with not...
Is stupidly even a word?
Well, it is now. No, I don't believe so. It was stupid what the police did, but I don't think stupidly is a word. I'd have to look up dictionary.com to make sure about that, but I don't think so.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
But regardless, that's where the oops moment came, because then the cops get slammed. He doesn't know all the particulars of it, and you're right. And it would have been better if it could have been just settled, hey, show me your ID. He's exhausted from his trip.
And I think the reason the charges were dropped, things settled down a little after the incident, and people kind of rethought things all the way around.
Right, and now they're going to the White House to...
I don't know if I would have gone. If I was a cop, I don't think I would have gone to the White House.
I don't know that I would have either, actually. I mean, that's the other part of this.
Yeah, it's just going to be a big photo op for them, for those two.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the cop there. I don't know that I would have either. But some would say, well, that's stupid, because if you go, then you can, you know, hey, everybody's all friendly. You have a discussion about racial profiling, you know, because this police officer, the sergeant, was so respected by everybody that that's what he did. He trained the recruits. So
yeah, and I don't want to.
It's an odd thing.
Yeah, I don't want to insult the cops or anything, but I do know some that do have certain ego trips, and that not mean they're bad or anything. It's just, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And you'll hear other police officers say that as well. But then someone will tell you, hey, professors have a chip on their shoulder too.
Well, especially a Harvard professor.
Especially a Harvard. Trust me, I know some people that went to Harvard. Two out of the three have chips on their shoulder, no doubt.
So of course there's going to be a clash, probably.
Exactly.
All right,
you take care in St. Louis. Thanks for the call. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. All right, Jeff makes an interesting point. Hey, there's an ego thing with the cops. There's an ego thing with a Harvard professor. So the two clash along the way. You heard me mention that the second patrolman said, look, we went by the book in any situation. If this was a white guy, if it was an Asian guy, if it was, you know, name any ethnicity that you can think of, we would do the very same thing. We would have done exactly what happened in this case. And if Obama hadn't made the comment, then would this really have blown up the way that it did? Maybe locally it would have, which it was. But once it was thrown out at the news conference, then it became big news. Big news all the way around since last August was Sarah Palin. I mentioned this at the top of the hour. It's worth revisiting because Palin resigned, but still nothing clear about what she's going to do in the future. She did kind of this farewell tour for Alaskans and traveled around to various areas to, she says, to thank the people for their support and all this sort of stuff. In the meantime, she's got legal bills. She's got ethics probes that are continuing. She's beat all the ones that have been in front of her. She's going to write a book. She's giving speeches. We certainly know that. But there's all this speculation about a 2012 presidential bid. So the first thing she's doing, she's going to speak at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in California on August 8th, of course, as a private citizen. She's also campaigning for political candidates from coast to coast, and she's all over Twitter. If Twitter is the big-time social networking, boy, she is all over it. So will she be able to still stay in the spotlight, or will she be the proverbial, as she said, I'm not. Will she be, you know, a lame duck in the political sense? She won't be on the talk circuit, no question about that. Mark is listening to us in the great state of New York. Hello, Mark.
Hey, kiddo. Just a couple little points real quick. The saddest thing is we don't even know who our neighbor is. Supposedly the neighbor called, and we don't even know who our neighbor is. You know, God forbid, don't love your neighbor, but find out who they are first.
Yeah.
You know? And every time I used to work close with the police department, and when an address comes up, also does the name, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And another thing real quick, the radio media, because I shut the television off a long time ago, not you. You're being very civil about this, Kate. You really are. But some of these radio guys are getting way out of control. I don't back Obama up on probably 98% of the things he does, but they've been calling his wife a racist and him when he got into office. And it's going to backfire on the media, I hope. I really do. I hope it really does. And when people call in and they say, oh, I got friends that are black, don't even say that because that's just as racist, too. I mean, we go into diners, we sit down, we use a fork and a knife and a plate. Who do you know who ate before you?
Exactly.
And not only that, ask a blind man. Ask a blind man about racism. He don't know because he can't see.
Right.
You know, that's all this is. It's only our damn eyesight. And, again, maybe he was just questioning authority. He was mad. You know, first one of the radios says he broke through a window, and then they shouldered the door, and then a crowbar, a limo in the driveway. But the bottom line is a neighbor. We don't even know who our neighbor is, let alone love him, you know? That's really the issue here, I think, anyway.
Yeah, and the problem is, too, when we know this, it's your sensibilities, absolutely, and your perception of it. And here this cop was somebody who he was so respected, and especially with so-called race relations, that's what he was doing for the police department. And then you've got this exhausted professor who is asked about, you know, give me your identification, and he's caught off guard. And then look what happens. Unfortunately, it blows up, but it really blew up when that question was posed to Obama. That's where things got dicey. As always, partner, thanks for the call. 800-259-5791. Meet you in a few.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Now that you've planted your organic garden, how will you keep the bugs away without using toxic chemicals and poisons? Well, the answer is all natural insecticides from freshwaterorganics.com. These revolutionary insecticides start with the same organic product that we use, an FPP, to kill parasites. We then add a small amount of pyrethrin from chrysanthemum flowers and a mild attractant to offer you the most effective insecticide available anywhere. It can even be applied up to the day of harvest. Our natural insecticides work in the home, on plants, and in your garden, killing pests mechanically, not with poisons. So pests can't develop an immunity, and they won't harm your children or pets. It's effective against white flies, moths, bed bugs, fleas, roaches, crickets, and more, and safe enough to use on your pets, ridding them of fleas and other pests. Order now from freshwaterorganics.com or call 888-949-3570, 888-949-3570 today.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride Flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride Flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
President Obama says that his words helped contribute to this ratcheting up of the situation between the, very well-respected Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates Jr. and also well-respected Sergeant James Crowley. Hey, everybody, Kate, hanging with you here on America Tonight. So it is, has now become a racial debate. One of the things Obama said is, and this is a quote, "I unfortunately gave an impression that I was maligning the Cambridge Police Department, or Sergeant Crowley specifically." Follow along. The last part of it is, he said, "I could have calibrated those words differently, and I told this to Sergeant Crowley." As a result, what's happened is both men are going to come to the White House to sit down, talk to the president, as they keep calling it, have a beer with the president, and they say this can be a positive thing. So it could be a teaching moment to improve race relations in America. They heard Mark in New York say, "Listen, what's really sad is people don't even know their own neighbors. That's how this whole thing started, and it's gotten out of control." Bottom line is, would we even be talking about it if Obama hadn't said what he said about the police acting stupidly? And then, of course, it did blow up big time nationally. Austin is listening to us in the great state of Texas. Hey, Austin.
Hey, Kate.
Hey, what do you think?
Hey, can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Are you? I heard one time you were from New York or Boston yourself, but you don't talk that way.
I know. I don't have an accent. On some words, I can. Trust me. I grew up in New York and Philly, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, anyhow, yeah, you talk just like, probably not like me, but like you're from California, like a California girl, I guess.
There you go.
Is that where you're from? You are right now? Is that where the show comes from?
No, no. We have a studio in Minneapolis.
Oh, Minneapolis. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, my first reaction to this story about the Harvard professor, you know, my first reaction was the same as the president's. You know, I thought it was ridiculous arresting a guy coming home from a trip or something. But the more you learn about it, first of all, they define him as a scholar. They keep calling him a scholar. Well, I heard that what he's a scholar in is in, you know, let's say black politics.
Right.
I mean, he was an expert. He gave expert testimony in a trial over rap music. He was justifying, well, this rap band was on trial for using MF and a bunch of other cuss words.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he was an expert witness saying that's okay. It's okay for black people to talk that way. And they shouldn't be prosecuted, whatever the law would be, foul language, I guess. They shouldn't be, you know, that's part of the black culture, and therefore they, so that's the kind of expert he is, that he thinks it's great for this rap music to talk about, to cuss, and talk about raping women and shooting police and all this other kind of stuff.
Right.
So I don't think he's much of a scholar. I think he got his job as a affirmative action, and, I think his job, he basically knows how to
work the system. Is that what you're going to
say?
Yeah,
work the system and make white guilt. He's a professional about white guilt and how to make white people feel guilty is what he's an expert in. And the police officer, on the other hand, you know, the police officer, I think, risked his life because there had been a burglary there earlier.
Right.
That's why the door was damaged. So the police officer was risking his life to go to that thing, go to the, you know, crime in progress.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the now I do think that this professor probably was tired from his trip, and he could be on some kind of medications. Maybe he hadn't taken his medicine. You know, I do think his behavior was outlandish. And there's probably an explanation for it, because I think most of the time he doesn't behave that way.
Right. I think that that's what I think you could go to the tiredness and all that other stuff. But, you know, here's the thing. Now, did he work the system? Some people would say, Austin, that you have to look at it this way. I mean, we're trying to improve so-called race relations, right? And so there are people who specialize in, and we have lots of different people on the show, there are people who specialize in that, and he is specialized in that field. But is he somebody who has a chip on his shoulder, or is he somebody who is trying to pave the way for a better America by opening the minds of some of the kids at Harvard and having lively discussions? And I don't know much about him in that sense. Supposedly what Gates is saying is that, you know, that everybody can learn from this and he wants it to go away. So he's now saying that he would like for this, for everybody to move on. I think that shows
something good. Can I interrupt?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he wants it to go away because they're getting ready to play recording. You know, the police have recordings of some of the stuff he said.
Yeah, the 911 calls.
And, yeah, well, and the police officer himself, I believe, had recording equipment of some kind. And so he now, of course, some people say, well, he just recorded the parts that he wanted to record. But on the other hand, it'll show, I think, that this Professor Gates is afraid of us finding out some of the language he used and the, how, you know, some of the, I mean, I think he went hysterical. And like I say, I think it was probably because he was off his medication, because I think, you know, he probably is a gentleman ordinarily.
Right, but would that have happened?
He was tired from the trip and he had failed to take some medication. That's what I think. On the other hand, the police officer is a young, healthy guy, and he's a professional at race relations. So I think it doesn't look good for Professor Gates.
It doesn't look good for Gates. That's what I would say probably out of that situation as well. Austin, thanks for the call. I agree with that part of it. I don't know much. I've tried to find some things out about Gates, and I do know that what Austin just said is true, and that's what he does. It's about diversity, and, you know, that's what the whole thing is, supposedly his classes and whatnot. And it's not a 911 call. It's that the police officers record, you know, videotape things sometimes, or they have recordings of things. So would something be released that would implicate, you know, Gates going hysterical? And what do the police do when they have an incident report? What do they, you know, what do they do? He asked for his ID a couple of times because they were investigating a burglary. They go in, they don't know who he is. You can't assume whether the person, I keep going back to this, but whatever the ethnic background of whatever the person, it's like at my place, somebody says there's a burglary going, some kind of a robbery or something, a burglarized place, and the police show up, well, they're going to ask me questions. They're going to ask me probably for identification. Of course they are. That's the first thing they would do. Let's go to Brad, who's listening to us in Kentucky. Hey, Brad.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good.
Just want to chime in on the professor up there. I don't know about anybody else, but if the cops show up to my house and inform me about a burglary, I'm going to be very cooperative with them.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, okay, hey, I'm glad you guys are here. Let's figure this out. Here's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that I belong here, and we'll go from there. From what I've heard of the situation is that he just hit him rough from the get-go. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he was being uncooperative. And you're right. The police officers responding to any call at any time have you know, life-threatening danger there. And they're just trying to figure out what's going on because they just got there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I seems like these days that racism is going a little bit both ways anymore. You know what I mean? And I think it's perfect that the officer is actually a representative of the police department as a trainer for that. You know what I mean? As an ethnic trainer. I mean, that just kind of takes the wind out of
the sails.
Sure. You know, well, he's like, well, no, guess what he is? This is what he is. So, I mean, it's good. It evens the playing field. I mean, it levels it down to what really happened. And just like the last caller said, that the house had a burglary call like a week before. And they couldn't, once they got him in cuffs and he was arrested, they couldn't secure the front door. And they asked him why, and they said, well, someone kicked it in last week. So a maintenance guy actually showed up from the college to repair the door, secure the door, to make it so you couldn't get in there. And the professor was like, yeah, sure, go ahead and do what you need to do or whatever. So that alone, I think, is justice for the cops to show up and say, hey, what's going on and who are you? And if the professor is a professor and he's smart, then he should know that the cops there, they were just doing their job. They were showing up for his protection or for anybody else's protection that they responded to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's what did happen. Anybody listening, if you've ever been in that situation, you know, I had a, Brad, I had a kick door robber when I lived in Vegas, and the cops were great. But when they came is, before they started asking me, what was the description, what's this, they asked me for my ID.
Yeah, who are you? Yeah.
Who are you? What is your name? Let me see your license, whatever. That was the very first question. Because who could I could be any person standing there. Who knows? I could be trying to pull some kind of a scam. You know, police will tell you this. They don't know what they're encountering. I mean, are there cops that are cocky and bad and looking for situations? I don't think this cop was that cop at all, though.
No.
And I think he was stunned by the reaction, frankly. And a lot of people are backing him up. And a lot of people in the department that are black police officers are backing him up. And we certainly said what his credentials were. So I do think that, too. I do think that this Gates arrest, they want it to kind of go away because what's really underneath the surface? 800-259-5791. You can throw in your two coming up in three.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust pepper spray instead of your luck.
PepperSpray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. PepperSpray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. PepperSpray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
I bet you're wondering how I do. Baby, 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 got some plans to make me blue. With some other girl you knew before. Between the two of us, there's no, I love you more. It took me by surprise, I must say. When I found out yesterday.
All right, so here we are on America Tonight talking about this racial incident, or now it's become a racial incident, between this Professor Gates and a sergeant from the Cambridge Police Department. Gates himself is now saying it's time to move on from his arrest. It's amazing the amount of press attention that has rained down on both the Cambridge Police Department and Harvard and this professor. See, now they know what it's like to be under the microscope, so that question came out of the blue when Obama was talking about health care to the nation last week, and he said that they acted stupidly, and boy, did that ignite the fire big time. So supposedly they're going to break bread at the White House, whatever that means, in the upcoming months, but I still don't think this is over. We may see more come out of this, because the police department wants a couple of apologies, and they didn't really get, I think, the apologies they were looking for. The union was asking for that. When you have the President of the United States saying that the police department acted stupidly, and he did come back and then talk about cooler heads prevailing and saying that he spoke to Gates, he spoke to Crowley, all that stuff, and then the idea of we'll have this little meeting at the White House, but is it enough? You know, police have an image that they have to struggle with anyway, and they have those jobs where, let's face it, you never know what kook is going to shoot at them when they pull them over, from anything from a routine traffic stop to a domestic violence call that escalates in sometimes the death of the police officer. And we know there's bad cops. We know there's good cops. We know there's power-tripping cops. And we know there's others that really, truly wanted to help people. So they forego maybe more money that they could have made doing something else because, legitimately, they feel like they're contributing to their community. And when you're one of the good guys and then your name gets dragged through the mud, never a good thing. And this Sergeant Crowley has people coming from all corners, from all walks, backing him up and saying, this guy is a good guy. That's why he's handling race relations with recruits to deal with it, to deal with sensitivities and all that that entails. So anyway, we're still open for business on that one, 800-259-5791. But I was shocked to learn, sadly, about this that happened in what was my last hometown, Philadelphia, and primarily where I grew up. A man was going to a bachelor party at a bar next to the Phillies ballpark, someplace where I've been many, many times, and he was beaten to death. They had some kind of a fight outside. So the cops say a group from the bachelor party got into a fight with some others at the sports bar, and the restaurant in the Citizens Bank Park complex. So I know where they're talking about. There's not that many restaurants there. And it happened when the final innings of a game between the Phillies and the St. Louis Cardinals. They were told to leave the restaurant and the saloon, and they moved it to the parking lot outside. So a 22-year-old was pummeled. I mean, just pummeled. They took him to the hospital. He was pronounced dead. How awful is that? How ridiculous. See, what people don't realize is what alcohol can do and how it can ignite. As somebody who spent a big chunk of my career, and still I do this, in the sports world, we know how passionate we are about sports. And sometimes the talking and sometimes the two, whoops, served him a little bit too much, gets out of control. I've seen this so many times, too many times to count. But in this case, it ends in the death of someone. More than the blunder, more than a mistake. How do you explain to that family, just went to the Phillies game, and guess who we didn't come back with? I mean, tempers flare, but it's ridiculous. And it goes back to the argument of, hey, maybe you shouldn't have those restaurants and those ballparks, and you should cut off the alcohol a little bit sooner rather than the late innings. So once again, some idiots ruining it for other people who are responsible. But the whole sports argument, we could go all night long on that one. Jay is listening to us in New York. Hello, Jay. Thanks for the jingle.
How are you tonight?
Good.
Good. Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that in, like, Boston?
Yep.
Isn't that, like, where, you know, like, the Kennedys live or something?
Well, that's where the Kennedys live. That's a stretch. But, where they represent, where forever they've represented the people of Boston, Ted Kennedy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. I've got a lot of friends that come up here to New York from Boston, of course. And then, you know, you also have a lot of New Yorkers that spend some time down there at the games. And, you know, people in the Boston area seem to be a little tightly wound,
mm-hmm.
You know. Especially perhaps if you're, you know, not going so well, having to go overseas to China or wherever and discuss, you know, the economy of the United States and Massachusetts, how they're, you know, getting ready to jiggle the handle on the bowl and,
mm-hmm.
You know, going down the drain. But, you know, I don't see this being a big deal for the professor or the quote-unquote scholar, you know, come on now. If he's a real scholar, you know, he doesn't need to be screaming at people, even though, you know, especially police. You know, the guy didn't show up to his house dressed in, you know, a black ninja outfit saying, you know,
yeah.
Let me get your ID.
Right.
Obviously, he came there with a badge.
Mm-hmm.
And probably had his cap on, you know, like the Boston Cambridge police usually do, you know, especially if they're called to the scene of a crime. And, you know, for our great and illustrious president to be talking crap on the basketball court may be one thing. But to be talking crap in a news conference, you know, talk down to the police. Barack is, you know, he's got enough problems on his plate rather than, you know, just discussing things like this off the cuff. And, you know, that's what it sounded like to me is he was, you know, off the cuff. It wasn't on his teleprompter. He couldn't, you know, come through with the right answer. So he just, you know, used the answer that his kids use. You know, that's stupid. You know, it's not fair. You know, come on, mommy, daddy, it's not fair. You know,
right. I think you nailed it, Jay. Thanks. We're going to fly to Tom in Kentucky. He did. It was a winging it moment, and that's part of the problem. He winged it, and he shouldn't have gone there in the first place. If he hadn't gone there or said something differently, more diplomatically, because there is too many other things going on, then this wouldn't have become the fire keg that it's turned into, right? Tom in Kentucky, you have the last word this hour on that one. What do you think?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm a white 64-year-old guy that works in Kentucky and lives in West Virginia and happens to be driving home right now. I happen to listen to your program. I got to tell you, you know, the Crowley thing and the professor, I have to say that I think the professor, or rather the Crowley, the police officer, did handle himself stupidly. For somebody that was supposed to have been an expert in all that field, and he slaps handcuffs on a professor standing in his own house. I mean, it's just uncalled for. It's too much. Maybe the professor was a little out of lines talking some of the stuff he talked, but that's no excuse to arrest a guy and put handcuffs on him.
But you got to look at it this way. If you or I get out of control, if a cop comes to my place, like did happen to me with the kick door robber, and I start to raise my voice and I start to make a commotion, they try to calm me down, but I don't really calm down, what are they going to do to me? They're going to put cuffs on me. That's the thing.
Well, I mean, that's the police mentality, you know, but that's not the right thing to do. The guy was on his own property in his own house.
Right.
I mean, you know, this cop is not Lily White. He may, you know, he may be all he's supposed to be as far as, you know, the cop trainer and all that kind of thing. But I think that Obama was right. And if he wanted to say what he thought, so be it. The cop was stupid. He handled it stupidly. And he should have known better because he was supposed to be the expert.
All right. So that great perspective, a different perspective. Saying that it was the cop and it wasn't Gates. I disagree because I think in this case, and I would have to see if I could hear that tape, then we would even know even more. I have seen this where somebody's gotten out of control and it's somebody with a great reputation and you're shocked and then they're cuffed and they're behind, you know, they're being printed or whatever, and it was just a situation that got out of control. But there are some that totally agree that it was the cop, that he should have backed off. He knew he was Gates. He showed him whatever the ID. So leave it at that. If he gets a little irate, cut him some slack. You can shoot me an email on it, americatonight.net.
Well, that's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.